Good evening, this is Mark Lynch, and this is Inquiry. My guest tonight is Martha H. Kennedy. She's the curator of popular and applied graphic art in the Prints and Photographs Division of the Library of Congress. And we're talking about her sumptuous, wonderful new book, Drawn to Purpose, American Women Illustrators and Cartoonists. Martha, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to talk to you about this book.
Well, thank you for having me.
This is a beautiful book. I want to say this to the audience. It's a wonderful catalog. I assumed it was for an exhibition?
It is connected with an exhibition, and we call it a companion volume. It's not really an exhibition catalog per se, but all the pieces in the exhibition are in the book, and the book has even more.
Now, are most of the pieces in the Library of Congress collection?
They are. There's
wow.
One exception.
One? That's all?
Just one exception out of all of these. Yes.
Wow.
Because it just, I really felt we had works, we had an original piece of art by this one cartoonist, but it wasn't really going to fit very well. And so we asked her if she would share an image that was sort of more representative of her work, and she did.
What really impresses me is that the Library of Congress continues to collect contemporary artists, and that obviously is part of your mission.
It is, definitely. We are collecting for the future,
right,
as well as trying to respond to researchers we have today who are letting us know what their needs are.
And one of the other things, and I love this, is that you don't just collect finished works, but you also collect initial sketches and drawings.
Yes, we do. We really think it's important when we have the opportunity to collect material that shows the creative process.
I know. I love sketches because I feel like I can learn more about how the artist works by looking at a sketch than by looking at the finished product.
Yes. Absolutely true. It's fascinating.
Now, these artists, these women artists represented in this book, and the book is really wide-ranging. You have political cartoonists, comic book artists, book illustrators, courtroom artists, commercial illustrators. They're not what most people would think of as fine artists, but these works are amazing.
I'm glad you think so, because I think that is one of the aims of the book, is to bring attention to the high artistic quality of so many of the pieces. I mean,
are these arts arts then really not usually appreciated as arts? Like when you think about somebody doing a comic book, I taught comic book art at the Worcester Art Museum for decades, but most people don't think of it as worthwhile art. By seeing them together in this book, it gives you a whole different value of these.
Oh, I'm glad you think so, because, you know, that it's important. There's a lot of skill and artistry that goes into this work, and it's high time that people began to appreciate it.
Now, the women artists in this book, it's fascinating for me to read their history, especially when we go back to the Golden Age illustrators. They're working often at the same time they're trying to raise a family at a very difficult time, and some of them in very difficult places. It's incredible what women have accomplished in these art forms.
Oh, I agree. I mean, sometimes women had to make a choice during the Golden Age of illustration, but then you've got amazing people like Mary Halleck Foote.
Oh, yeah.
And Alice Barber Stevens, who managed to do that,
let's talk about them. Let's start out with the Golden Age of illustration. When was that?
That generally is the dates for that era. Most people agree range from about 1880 to 1930 or so.
And these are mostly book illustrators or magazine illustrators.
That's a lot of them did publish. In magazines, I'd say a huge volume of this kind of work was published in magazines and quite a bit in books, too. Sometimes these artists would be publishing illustrations for short stories that would then be sort of part of, they would be part of a serial and then eventually published as a book. Not in all cases, but in some.
This has been a tremendous era for those kind of literary magazines. We just don't see those anymore.
Yeah, really was. It was an incredible age of magazines. And
now, was it hard for women to break into this profession?
Well, I think it was challenging for them. It was hard for them to, they didn't have great access to training, a lot of them. But there were a lot of women who persisted and broke into it. And there were a lot of men as well. But I think that it was competitive. There were, women were competing with men for a lot of plum assignments.
Wow.
And but a lot of them persisted and became pretty successful. Some of them. And we don't know the names of some of them too.
Because they didn't sign their work,
I think this is a kind of art form that's, there's a fair amount of it that hasn't been preserved. The library, however, began to form a collection of illustration art in the 1930s. And we're one of the few institutions that has a really wonderful collection of work from this era.
I want to talk about some of the artists.
Okay.
One of them actually predates the Golden Age, Fanny Palmer.
Yes.
And the great thing about this book is I many of the artists, I knew the comic artists and I knew some of the political cartoon artists, but some of these Golden Age artists I'd never heard of before. Fanny Palmer did these beautiful hand-colored lithographs. What was she working for?
She was working for Courier Knives, and she was one of their major artists. And she's really somebody who deserves more attention. I've heard that there's going to be a biography that will be coming out in the fall, which is great to hear. We know that she did there are about 200 examples of her work that we know about, but not all of her work was signed, and there are probably many, many more that were not signed by her. And the library has, quite wonderful representation of her work.
Are there curators of this work, as there are for paintings, who could look at an unsigned work by her and then assign it to her based on the style and the technique?
They might very well be able to make attributions. We are federal employees, and so we're not allowed to do that, make those kinds of judgments.
Don't you do that. Okay. Now, we mentioned, you mentioned Mary Halleck Foote. When I read her history, that seemed like it could have been made into a movie. She did magazine illustrations. She used graphite and ink wash. But in the middle of her career, she relocated to the West.
Yes.
What time are we talking about?
Well, she got married, I think, in 1876. And she was getting a lot of recognition for her work. She had done magazine illustrations and illustrated some beautiful gift editions of work by prominent artists, well-known poets, for example, and then got married. But she'd made wonderful contacts in the industry and was able to keep working. All right, now what was your question?
She relocated to the West, but it wasn't like she was living the posh life out West. She was living sometimes under pretty challenging conditions.
She definitely was. She was able to have some domestic help part of the time, and at one point her sister and sister's family joined them, and I think that helped to some degree, but it's pretty, she must have been incredibly motivated and incredibly well organized to have produced as much as she did. And it's high quality work.
Well, she did an amazing series that's represented in this book, Pioneering Women illustrating of the American West. Mm-hmm. And there are 11 pictures of these far west scenes, and they're magical. They're so beautiful.
Oh, I think they are too. It's and you know, it was great. She drew on her firsthand experience to make these beautiful drawings, and then she did do some essays too. She wrote about her experiences too. Gradually, she moved into writing during her career, but she got a lot of recognition and a lot of respect from fellow illustrators too during her career.
Now let's we can't talk about everybody in this book, but I want to mention Alice Barber Stevens.
Yeah.
What was her like? Her work like?
Like she did a lot of illustration of popular fiction, and she ended up illustrating some literary classics too. Her career was really impressive. I mean, she came from fairly humble origins. She was born into a Quaker farming family, but was able to start taking classes at the Philadelphia School of Design for Women while she was still in secondary school, and learned wood engraving. And wood engraving was something that she quickly became skilled at.
Wow.
So she was basically engraving other artists' works for publication in magazines. But she really wanted to do her own drawing and painting. And so she was able to enroll at the Pennsylvania Academy of Fine Art and study with Thomas Aikens, which was
wow,
great. Which she, it was, I think, maybe a big turning point for her, because he grounded his teaching in study of the nude. And she... because of that, she was able to learn how to depict the human figure really well. And I think you see that in her work as her career went on.
She did a series where she portrayed different types of American women. Where was that?
Yes.
Where was that printed?
That was in the Ladies' Home Journal. And that was really a special commission for her. And this ran, I think, over a year, believe in 1897, and her illustrations alternated with works by Charles Dana Gibson.
Wow.
Major figure.
Oh, yeah.
Field,
yeah.
Yeah.
Now, what was the Plastic Club?
That was an organization that she and Emily Sartain, who was a sister artist, who ran the Philadelphia School of Design, the two of them were founding members of the Plastic Club, which was specifically organized to support women artists. Women were not allowed to join other kinds of clubs that male artists had formed. And this really, it was quite an active organization. They put on exhibitions. They brought in guest speakers,
wow,
which included male artists, too.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was really pretty amazing.
And then there's a trio, and I love the name of this, the Red Rose Girls.
Mm-hmm.
Who were they?
They were Jesse Wilcox Smith, Elizabeth Shippen Green, and Violet Oakley. And they all met basically while they were students of Howard Pyle, sort of one of the great illustrators of the Golden Age, and also an incredibly... accomplished teacher and really influential teacher of the art of illustration during this era. And they're pretty amazing because they formed a friendship and they decided that they would live together, and they found a lovely location outside of Philadelphia, the Red Rose Inn.
Wow.
And that's how they got the name, Red Rose Girls.
There, in the book, there's reproductions of Jesse Wilcox Smith's illustrations for the Water Babies.
Yes.
And they're amazing looking.
They are beautiful, and they're quite large. And the library is really fortunate. We have all 12 of her major illustrations for that 1916 edition of the Water Babies. We have one in each rotation of the exhibition. And you can see them online.
Now, there's so many other artists, but I want to mention, we're not just talking about illustration. There are also artists who did, and you have wonderful examples of this in the book, book design.
Yes, yes.
Like Margaret Armstrong.
Yeah.
That's a whole different art.
It really is. And, this was a decision that we made here at the library, the editors I worked with, and it was a way of bringing attention to women's accomplishments in related fields, like book design. And it's interesting, too, Margaret Armstrong did do some illustration art a little later in her career, mainly when she collaborated with a botany professor, and they together produced an amazing guide to wildlife flowers of the West. I wish we could find the original drawings for those, but what a legacy she left in book design, and we're really fortunate that the Rare Book Division has wonderful representations of that work.
You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. My guest tonight is Martha H. Kennedy, curator of popular and applied graphic art in the Prints and Photographs Division of the Library of Congress. And we're talking about just a wonderful, beautiful book that she's just written, Drawn to Purpose, American Women Illustrators and Cartoonists. Now, I want to switch up gears entirely because I want to give people a sample of the work that says there's a great chapter on caricaturists and political cartoonists. And I think when people think of caricaturists, they never associate that with women.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, it's one of these hard-hitting specialties, rather. And there were artists who were women artists who were just astonishingly good at it. Peggy Bacon is one who comes to mind. She won a Guggenheim Fellowship to work on a project in caricature. But she later decided to go in other directions, but not before she produced an incredible body of work, caricatures of leading personalities. A lot of cultural personalities.
A lot of people in the art world.
That's right. That's right.
But she also did. There's a picture in the book called "The Quest for Beauty," which is this sort of posh woman looking at at some art objects, and that's just an incredible illustration.
It really is. Yeah.
And she herself was caricatured by another artist that's in the book,
right.
Arlene
Fry.
And that's great. It was funny when I came across that. It was Aileen Freehout.
Yes.
And what an interesting caricature of Peggy Bacon.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Aileen Freehout is somebody who should be better known, too. She really stuck with caricature through her career. She's another one who married and had children and managed to stay active in the field, too, and had to move from New York to Washington, D.C., and, continued to do wonderful work.
And I want to talk about women artists in politics because I have to do that.
Yes.
There's some really interesting artists in this. And actually, one of the ones from political cartoonists, Rosie O'Neill, did an amazing thing about suffrage Cupid dolls.
Yes, yes, she did. It makes me want to find more of her, see if she did other pro-suffrage work too. But we're really lucky. We have an example that was published in Puck magazine. And, she was known for strongly supporting women's suffrage.
I want to take a break here and talk about the collecting by the Library of Congress. In this case, much of this material would be considered sort of ephemeral. How do you go about collecting when so much of it is around?
Well, I don't really a lot of it around. I think that it hasn't always been valued. Cartoon drawings and illustration drawings and comic book drawings especially, too, have not been valued over the years, and so it is a challenge. And it varies according to type, too, what are ways that the library can acquire these kinds of work, because original comic book art, especially from the Golden Age and Silver Age and so on, is very expensive.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah, I mean, and as well as the comic books themselves. And then illustration art, I mean, I think a lot of it has been lost, but we were really lucky that there was a former editor of Harper's magazines who worked with a member of the library staff to collect examples of Golden Age illustration while some of the creators were still alive in the 1930s, and also work with their descendants. I mean, those are some of the examples. I mean,
wow. I mean, it seems very complex, but I'm so glad you guys are collecting this.
Well, we are too. It's a fascinating journey.
Yeah.
A lot of the time, and it does take time too.
It does.
It's wonderful to have the living artists willing to work with us too.
Well, we were talking about women artists in politics. From the Washington Post, you have great a representation of Anne, and I've never been able to pronounce her last name. Is it Telnace?
Telnace.
I love her style.
Oh, so do I.
She's like a master of line.
She really has an elegant drawing style, and I think that, you know, she's developed it. She was trained in animation. She has a degree in animation art from the California Institute of the Arts, and you know that you can. I think you can see some of that in the way she draws.
Now, there's going back to the early times, the early women in political arts, again, people I've never heard of before. Anne Mergen, can you talk to me about her?
Oh, yeah. I mean, she was really quite amazing. Her training and her first job was in fashion illustration in Miami for the Miami Daily News. But she basically worked herself into a job as the editorial cartoonist for that newspaper. When she began working for them, she noticed that they did not have an editorial cartoonist, and she was very interested in politics, and she was finding her regular assignments rather routine and uninteresting, and decided to submit a political cartoon. The newspaper decided to run it, and she started doing political cartooning part-time at first, but then pretty quickly worked herself into a full-time job. And she did this from about 1933 to 1956, which is pretty amazing. And I don't know, I haven't been able to learn of or find any other woman who had a comparable position in editorial cartooning during that time.
And when you look at her cartoons, they're like these hard-hitting political cartoons, often during World War II, during wartime, about getting people getting out to vote, making sure that you vote. You know, we're in war. Every vote counts. And there's, as you point out in the book, there's a sort of a relationship of the themes that Herb Bloch covered at that time are very similar to the themes that she covered too. So it's a very strong political cartoons.
Yes. Yes, they really are. And, you know, she really, the kinds of issues that she cared about were really similar to sort of the enduring kinds of themes that you see running through her Bloch's career.
Now, who is Signe Wilkinson?
She was the first woman to win a Pulitzer Prize in editorial cartooning.
Oh, wow.
And she began her career at the San Jose Mercury News, but she also did cartoons for Ms. Magazine. And we have some really terrific examples of that work. And, you know, especially the one about gender bias.
Yep.
And in pay. And these are issues that are still with us. This This particular one was published in 1988. The title, which is sort of, well, I'm just going to read it. I think people will enjoy it. How can I make sure my child won't suffer from the wage gap between men and women? This is from a woman who is expecting a baby in her doctor's office. And her doctor looks at her and says, have a boy.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, that brings up an interesting question for these regular political cartoonists in the early days, especially like Ann Mergen. Do we know anything about pay equality for women artists versus male cartoonists at that time?
I have not uncovered anything about editorial cartoonists per se. We do know that there was pay inequity at the New Yorker. We have one famous case of Helen Hokanson, who was a cartoonist for the New Yorker magazine from the very beginning and is much beloved. And she, when she found out that Peter Arno, one of her fellow cartoonists there, was making more money than she stopped doing cartoons. And let the management know. And they realized they had to do the right thing, and they did. And then she got back into doing her cartoons there.
We're almost out of time. I just want to ask you, putting together an exhibition and a book like this, was there one artist that you uncovered, that you discovered, that surprised you, that you now is like one of your favorite artists?
I don't have one. I really don't. There are so many who amazed and astonished me. They really did. I think that, you know, there are a lot of artists I was aware of quite a few of the famous ones, but there were some that I discovered in the process of over the years who I had not heard of and whose work just amazed me. And I would say Jesse Gillespie during the golden age of illustration.
Yeah.
And Aline Fruhauf, with caricaturist. And really being able to bring attention to a cartoonist, an amazing cartoonist like Ann Mergen, was really satisfying.
This is an amazing book, and congratulations, Martha, on putting it together.
Thank you.
My guest tonight has been Martha H. Kennedy, curator of popular and applied graphic art in the Prints and Photographs Division of the Library of Congress. And we're talking about her son. It's sumptuous. It's a wonderful new book, Drawn to Purpose, American Women Illustrators and Cartoonists. Martha, it's been a pleasure. I hope you're going to come back some other time.
Thank you. I'd love to.
You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. Good night.